Hare Krishna. Yeah, when you're sitting in kirtan, you can't, you know how much energy it takes to play harmonium, sing loud, chant. I'm 70 years old. You sit there, you're hardly even moving your lips. You're not even making any volume. Kirtan, sankirtan means everyone's supposed to participate. This is not like some kind of entertainment sport. Everybody's just watching. It says to chant according to the way the chanting is done. It's singing. Singing means with a full voice, not just sort of moving their lips and looking off into the distance. Sankirtan means participating. Like a lot of the other devotees did yesterday, they're nicely absorbed and participant otherwise.
It was a great bhajan, great kirtan. Everybody enjoyed it very much.
All bhajans are great, it's just that devotees want to get more into who's chanting rather than the chanting. And they think something becomes good because someone is chanting, but actually it's the holy name that makes the kirtan. And if devotees are absorbed in chanting the holy name together, because that's what it means, sankirtan, then it becomes, even if the chanter is not so good, then it becomes great. But if devotees don't get engaged, then even if someone's chanting nicely or melodically, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preferred that devotees don't chant melodically, because that was in India, where that's a lot of people make a profession from singing nicely. But because then you're forced to be absorbed in the holy name and not the music or so on. And I mean, ultimately, in the spiritual world, it's both is there. But here, the risk is that people become enamored by how the chanting goes, and the ruchi is based upon the quality of the chanting rather than on the holy name. Anyone have any questions about anything else?
Yes, Maharaj. I have read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada explained that the disciples have the same kind of relationship with their guru than with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And actually, I don't understand fully what does it mean exactly.
Same type of relationship?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to see what the context is. But Yashya Devi Para Bhakti means that Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Sanskrit, that in the same way as you worship Krishna, you worship the spiritual master, and you see them equally as servitor and served, so supreme servitor and served. I don't think Prabhupada's talking about eternal relationship, obviously. And especially in devotees who are in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, it's about becoming, being very obedient, our relationship with Krishna until perfection is as Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we worship Him with awe and reverence. Same thing with spiritual master. The more developed relationship, that only comes when someone becomes realized. But then, obviously, the relationship with Krishna and all devotees is different, and that Krishna is always the Vishaya, the object of worship, and the devotees are always the Ashraya, or the worshippers, or servitors, and Krishna is the one who's one has these relationships with. Something else?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, yesterday you have mentioned this order or steps of meditation in our sadhana, this nama, rupa, guna and lila meditation. And I would like to ask you, what is the exact points when the devotees can go forward from one step to another, from nama to rupa, from rupa to guna, from guna to lila? Is there any exact definition, or?
Well,
or it is depend on the guru's instructions individually.
Prabhupada seemed to prefer that it happens spontaneously. In other words, that when one becomes already perfected in hearing, then guna and rupa and so on sort of naturally manifest one after the other. But there are, I think the bottom line is attentiveness, and that is that a devotee has to be attentive to the sound vibration, and then whatever, if he's meditating on the form of Krishna and so on, you can't, because when it's spontaneous, then it, everything's happening naturally, so it's not an issue of effort. Because the attachment ensures attention, but if someone if that's not there, there are many forms of regulated devotion mixed with spontaneous devotion. Well, as many as there are devotees, and devotees in getting there, Prabhupada says, there's a development of devotion from regulated to spontaneous. So as long as devotees remain attentive, then they can do that. But it's something that that should be, can be consulted with a spiritual master, and one should note that all right, if I'm thinking about Krishna's form, but I'm also hearing Krishna's name, and I'm maintaining, because then it's not, it's mixed, because you're you're thinking, oh, I should, can I do this? When the issue is of can I do it, then it's not purely spontaneous, because it would already be happening by itself. And if it's can I do it, then it becomes aspects of vitti are involved. But devotees can, but it also requires a certain level of advancement. And if that's there, then that's fine. So devotees should be advanced in chanting. You know, often we find the problem is the devotees aren't having difficulty chanting 16 rounds or even saying the Maha Mantra properly, and or concentrating their minds on hearing, that they're able to just sit down and hear. So when those things are absent, then it's not really advantageous to move forward. But when those things are there and it's still not happening spontaneously on its own, then if a devotee has that qualification, and then he can do that, or she can do that. As Jiva Goswami says, there are many types of mixed devotional service. By that meaning, mixed with regulated devotion mixed with spontaneous devotion. And then one can practice according to those, if that becomes their inclination.
And is there any difference? I mean, there is a difference, but I realize sometimes our minds started to entertain own self
to
with
what?
Krishna.
To do what?
So when I chant my rounds, and I have some problems to hear properly, but the mind started to entertain itself with the different lilas or forms of Krishna, and sometimes it seems to be a spontaneous process, but I have a fear that this is only
the... Well, the mind is certainly spontaneous, but because it tends to... That's also part of the mind, and mind is always spontaneous, and there's not necessarily spontaneous devotion. But you have to see where it leads to. And because the whole thing is a development, therefore generally, when it's done properly, when it's actually happening naturally, then the sequence just increases and becomes more and more intense. So when it's, well, sometimes my mind thinks of Krishna, and then sometimes it thinks about other things, then you can see that that's not in itself the natural process, spontaneous process, because then there's no turning back, it's just going forward.
Yes, I understand.
But there's no harm. There's no harm in thinking about Krishna. We should just not confuse imperfect things with perfect things, and we should use those imperfect things as inspiration or stepping stone for moving forward in chanting and making the chanting better. Harinama Eva Kevalam. And really be careful to avoid offenses, because that then becomes such a impediment to natural growth in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.